Ezra chapter 7, and I want to preach this morning and what is holding you together. Many during these times are turning to alcohol, drugs, immorality, entertainment, worldly pleasure, and then we have some that are using snake oil remedies that will not sustain them or hold them together through the storms of life, and therefore risk their lives of being torn apart, and if they're not saved, dying and going to a Christless eternity in hell. I was looking at statistics. I believe that alcohol consumption has been up during this time. People turning to alcohol. And let me tell you this, alcohol does not solve your problem. All it does is make your problem worse or give you another problem to add on top of what you're already dealing with. And even there are those, and there are even independent Baptists that believe in social drinking. You know what? If you know about the Spirit of God and you're filled with, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Okay? If you're filled with the Spirit of God, you don't need any other spirit. Amen? That's all that you need. There are those, and no doubt that drugs probably have gotten worse. We hear about domestic violence and things have increased during this time. People are home. They don't know. You know, they're cooped up, don't know what to do. You've got people that, I mean, we've had the tornadoes that hit in our area, and some have lost their lives, some have lost some have lost everything. In addition to the things that we're dealing with, those that have extra pressure on their job, and so what they're doing, they're turning to things like this that will not help them, will only make matters worse. People are turning to all kind of things that try to give them some relief, that try to give them a little bit of help, but it will not ultimately help them. Only Jesus can help you. Only the Lord can save, and only the Lord can give you strength and endurance and peace and safety in these days. In ancient days, when our vessels were made out of wood, in times of storm, you had something that they called, it's called frapping. And frapping is something that they would take about four or five cables or chains or ropes. And when a ship was going in the midst of a storm, they would take these, start at the front of the ship, and they would take these cables or rope, and they would kind of wrap them around and fish them under the hull of the boat, and then in strategic locations to tie these. To wrap these cords, to wrap these ropes, to wrap these cables or chains around, sometimes attaching them to the plank of the ship, and sometimes wrapping it around, use pulleys to tighten it up. And what this did was prevented the planking of the ship, the wood separating in a time of a fierce storm. It would add an extra security and extra strength so that the hull would not come apart. This took place in Paul when they were sailing and they landed, a crash landed in Melita, that they had taken help. So they had wrapped these ropes around the ship to keep it together. There was tales, Adam Clark, the Methodist expositor, one of the great sets of commentaries been put together, talk about a Spanish man of war that was going around the world that was tied together, frapped during a severe storm. Also, there was a British line of battleship in the 1763. It was sailing from India to the Cape of Good Hope that was frapped during a severe storm. I also read of several. There have been American vessels and also Russian vessels that were, there was one in particular that I read about, was they had frapped that vessel. It was damaged so severely that the vessel was not able to be used again, but yet because they had helped that vessel, they had frapped it, they had tied it together, it was able to make it safely to the port, and people were saved. The vessel we talked about, Paul was boarding on his trip to Rome, was frapped in this severe storm, and though it did crash land off the island of Melita, the ship was able to make it so close enough to the shore that everybody was saved. Well, we look at this ship that Paul the Apostle was on, and man-made methods of help and holding things together will ultimately fail. But let me tell you this. I read of an occasion where the Lord Jesus Christ was in a boat on the Sea of Galilee and a storm rose up. And let me tell you this. He calmed the storm and the ship made it crossly safely on the other side. Amen. There's another time that he walked on the water and they were shaken because of the storm, and that boat made it over on the other side. Let me tell you this. The old ship of Zion may be battered. It may be torn. It may have been we go through some rough seas, go through some strong nights, but we are frapped together. We're held together by the grace of God, and we're going to make it on the other side. Amen. Let me tell you this. We've got some thankful. I thank God for the governor we have. Amen. And I appreciate a governor that recognizes the importance of the house of God. But we've got some of our brethren. There have been some preachers that have been put in jail in America. There have been some that have been fined, and there are those that have gone through some difficult times because of the measures that have been taken exclusively in some places against the church that have not been put against other businesses. And let me tell you this, these God-denying, God-hating politicians and leaders, and also you've got into social media, where if you put out something that don't go along with everybody believes, or they'll pull the video, they'll shut you down and stuff like, and things of that nature that are going on today. But let me tell you this, 100 years from now, when these politicians are dead, and if they don't get saved, they'll die and go to hell. I hope they get saved. But I'm going to tell you, go 100 years from now, 200 years from now, 500 years from now, if the church is still on the earth, let me tell you this, the church is going to keep going. Jesus is still on the throne, and we're either going to continue to be a witness on the earth, or we're going to be in the millennial reign ruling with him. But you're not taking the church out, amen. I read about men like Spurgeon who have been through far greater situations than we faced. And yet they talk about faith. I thought about Brother Strickland, your dad. I read something about our grandfather, Eddie's dad, my dad. Think about our grandfathers that were born at the first of the century. They went through the First World War. And after that, they went through the Spanish flu epidemic. They went from 1918 to 1920. And then they faced a Great Depression, followed by World War II, followed by the Korean War, followed by the Vietnam War. And let me tell you, what did they do? They kept on going. They kept on living. And those that were saved kept on living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that gives us an example that we can live for Him today. Amen? We can go for Him today. What's holding you together in this life? What ropes do you have wrapped around your life? Are you trusting in the ropes of this life? I tell you what, I believe that we have seen in the last 2 months things that we were trusting in this world to see how weak, flimsy, and how insufficient that they truly are. And we've seen how sufficient our Savior is. What are you trusting in? What are the cords of life that are... Are you trusting in the cords of this life or in the cords of grace and love? I want to go back and look at Ezra. Ezra is a man that grew up in Babylonian captivity. He separated from his homeland, from the temple had been destroyed. And he is in Babylonian captivity. He has an ungodly reign, an ungodly ruler. He lives in an ungodly society. But while others of the God's people during this time were busy settling in and getting used to living in this world, we see that Ezra was preparing his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Now there are those that are kind of, chewing your fingernails off, not knowing what's going to happen, what to do. But I think what we need to do is do like Ezra. Ezra faced similar situations that we're facing today. We need to seek God. We need to seek His Word. We need to keep living for the Lord, because that's what's going to give you joy and peace in the journey and through the times that we live in. That we wrap around our vessels the cords of the grace of God. I want to talk about five frapping cords that we can wrap around our lives and our vessel. Number one, we see the glory of God. Now, looking at Ezra chapter 7, we see that Ezra in chapter 7 and verse 6, that we see here that the hand of his God was upon him. And verse 9, that he left Babylon and went to Jerusalem according to the good hand of God upon him. And then in verse number 28, and he said, I was strengthened. This is Ezra giving a testimony in the house. Amen. And as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together Israel, chief men to go with me. And he talked about according to the good hand of God that was upon him that we read about here. Now, Ezra had the hand of God upon him. Now, that's the first thing that we need. We need the glory of God, the hand of God upon us. And if you're a child of God, you have the hand of God upon you already. But I'm to trust in that hand that leads, that hand that guides, that hand that provides, the glory of God. Now, having the glory of God doesn't mean that I have to come to church, swing from a chandelier, shout it out, and be on the glory side all the time. Let me tell you this, the glory of God can light the day in a dark night. He can light your path in a dark night. He can speak peace in the midst of the storm. That's what the glory of God can do in your heart and life. The glory of God will shore you up and sustain you and strengthen you. Ezra, now, we're not looking at some couch potato child of God here. We're looking at a man that grew up in adversity, that continued in adversity, and even when he went back and was used in the helping of the establishment of temple worship and also of the Word of God being taught, this man had trial after trial. He had situation after situation. He had challenge after challenge. He had trouble after trouble and storm after storm. But yet we see that this man prepared his heart to seek the Word of God, to do it, and to teach. And by the good hand of God, Ezra died an old man full of faith, and he'll give a good account before the Lord. Amen. Now, if it worked for Ezra, it'll work for me, and it'll work for you. That we can look to this man who has been through. I mean, this man has faced, sir, ma'am, old or young, what you're facing today. And probably more. But we can identify with him and see that God used him, God protected him. I mean, if we travel even in our county, you can travel almost anywhere in relatively safety and security. But when they traveled from Babylon and went to Jerusalem with the gold and the silver, and there were thousands of them that came together and went to Jerusalem, but yet they were fearful of robber bands, of mercenaries that would take and kill them for the treasures that they had. And Ezra and the king had said, Ezra, I'll give you a band of soldiers. He said, no, the good hand of God's upon me. And so Ezra, when he starts off, he said, now, Lord, I'm putting my neck out on the line, and I'm trusting you to bless me and protect me. And guess what? God did. And God can protect you and I today. You say, Lord, you say, preacher, I don't know how the Lord's going to do that. Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't know how he's going to do it either. But I'm going to believe that he does. And I'm going to trust him to work and move in my heart and life. I mean, the glory of God. You think about Jesus being on that ship when he said, peace be still. I mean, the glory of God was in that vessel. And that vessel made it to the other side. The glory of God will shore us up in these days. We see in verse 10, as we've already mentioned, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He had the good Word of God. And let me tell you this, that Bible that you hold in your hand or you have in your lap, or you left at the house and collecting dust, it's still the inerrant, infallible, perfect Word of God. Amen. It is still just as established in heaven today as it was the first Sunday of March of 2020. It is established as much today as it was the day I got saved on April 1st of 1984. And let me tell you this, this Bible is still a living book. And this Bible will still stir your heart. And this Bible will still give you a song in the night. And this Bible will still give you assurance of salvation. This Bible will still give you a song in the night. It will still give you faith to overcome. It will still give you strength for the journey. It'll still give you guidance along the way. Let me tell you this, there are people that are trying to change the book, trying to deny the book, trying to destroy the book. Praise God, child of God, let's get in the book, amen. I'm just going to say it's a whole lot easier to preach to real people, amen. The goodness of God through prayer. Ezra was a praying man. He spent much time in prayer. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I find it interesting that word help, the Greek word, which is used in the plural, is talking about wrapping up a ship in cables, frapping a vessel. You know what that means? When I come to the throne of grace, God doesn't just give you a little Amazon shipment of grace. He doesn't just give you a little FedEx shipment of grace. He doesn't just give you a boatload of grace. Now, he'll do that. But you know what he'll do? He'll put grace in you. He'll put grace above you. He'll put it under you. He'll wrap you around it. I'm going to tell you what. He'll tie up your vessel where you're going to be safe in the storm. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can I have an amen right there? The goodness of God through prayer. How the Lord through prayer. You know, if there's an area that I battled, I'm going to make a confession, is my prayer life in these last 2 months. I allow things. In fact, I was going to do some taping yesterday, and I was all ready to go, and then it's just like everything left me. It's like, you know, boosh. And the Holy Spirit said, "You didn't take time to be filled with the Spirit and trust me, and I'm not going to let you do that in your energy. You're going to wait till you have my power." Amen. And I tell you this, but every time you spend time with the Lord in prayer, you fellowship with Him, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. I've told this illustration before, and I think it'll fit good today. When I still lived lived at 703 South Church Street in Winterville, North Carolina, I remember, you know, my sister, I'd just gotten saved. My sister was still staying home, and she was, there was this little old naughty-kneed guy that was interested in her, and I didn't like him. And I wasn't a sweet, fine little fella then like I am now. And so, you know, he comes over to the house, and I didn't like him. He was about like the woman that went to the preacher and said, "If I was married to you, I'd feed you poison." He said, "If I was married to you, I'd eat it." Amen. They want no love lost between me and this guy. Amen. Well, there was a time. There's one thing that Mom told us: you don't have no guys going back to the back of the house. They told us, "Well, you had no girls going back to the back of the house." So that boy started walking down the hallway. I said, "Hold on a minute." I said, "You can't go back there. You're not a family member." I didn't do it nice either. I should have been nice from what it was. But anyway, he wasn't a family member. But see, I can go anywhere in that house because I was a member of the Brookshire household. Now, somebody comes to visit our house, Mama. If Mama was living today, she would not have to go out and have to buy 6 months of toilet paper and four months of paper towels and to go out and buy 2 months of food. She already had it, amen. She had stuff canned. Had a whole pantry full. She had two freezers full. She had a refrigerator in the house that was full and a refrigerator down with the freezers that was full, amen. Glory to God, she had so many Coca-Colas, she could have probably opened up a McDonald's where she was at, amen. Now, if somebody come over to the house, they can get you ask mama, she had something, she feed it to you. But if you went in and tried to go somewhere you weren't supposed to, that 5'1" Eastern North Carolina girl, there'd be a little bit of that Eastern North Carolina come out of her. You know what I'm saying? But if I wanted something out of anywhere in that house, I could go in, I can open the door of the refrigerator, I can go to the freezer, I can go in that pantry, get everything I want. You know why? I'm a family member. Let us come boldly. I am a member of a child, I am a child of God, and I'm a member of God's family. I don't have to ask permission. You know, Esther had to ask permission for the, she had to go in and wait for the royal scepter, the golden scepter, to be extended to her. Let me tell you this, child of God, our King in heaven, the scepter is extended already. And all I have to do is to go to Him. I can come boldly to the throne of grace. You know why? Because I'm a child of God. Amen? I can come to His heavenly refrigerator anytime. You say, I don't have much provision. Well, you might not be coming as much as you need to. Hey, I'll tell you this. When I lack provision, it's because I ain't a-coming. And I say that with a capital A. But we can come boldly to the throne of grace to be wrapped in His mercy. The glory of God is a frapping rope that will help us. The Word of God, the goodness of God, and then the grace of God through repentance and forgiveness. Psalm 38, verse 22. How many of you during this time has God dealt with you about some sin or weight in your life? Say, oh me. Oh me. All right. I noticed y'all was a little quiet on that. Okay. Psalm 38, verse 22. David is confessing his sin of murder and adultery to God. God has called him out, and he comes clean with God. Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. He goes through and he talks about the dealing of God with him during that time where he did not, he covered it up, but he didn't cover it up before God. And God was dealing with him. How many of us have had God dealing with us about things in our lives maybe months or years before, but now we're brought to a situation, God says, okay, I'm calling this out. I want you to get this right. I want you to confess your sin. David said in verse 22, make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. If you and I will come clean with God and confess our sin before Him, we will have the grace of God to help us in that time, to gird us in that time. The grace of God through repentance and forgiveness to realize that I've sinned against God and I seek His forgiveness. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you this. If you'll come to the Lord in repentance and faith and call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, that He will help you. He will save you. He will forgive you. He will birth you into His family. He will make you a child of God, and you'll find that you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. The grace of God through repentance and forgiveness. And then we talked about the God of glory is with us. But now I want to talk about the glory of God. In Psalm 121 and verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. God never made us to look to the earth, to Egypt, for our need. We look to the hills. You know, Jerusalem, you'd always looked up to Jerusalem. But we have a heavenly Jerusalem that we look to today. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Hey, I'm going to tell you this. There's going to come a time we're going to look up when we hear the trumpet sound and the dead in Christ rise first, and Jesus says, come up hither, and gravity lose hold, and we're not going to take an airplane ride. We're going to take a plain air ride, and we're going to be checking out of here. Amen. And it's not going to be much longer. that we stand before the Lord and we see Him. Until then, we lift up our eyes to the hills from which cometh my help, my undergirding, my help coming from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Psalm 124 and verse 6, blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. How many of you, there are people that feel like that they are trapped, that they are enslaved, that they don't know what to do. There are people that don't know where to go. We see this demonstrated in the social media. We see this demonstrated in some of the peaceful demonstrations that are taking place in different parts of our nation. We see that in the despair that is on the faces of people. And I mean, you go out and you see people and it's almost like going out shopping on Christmas Eve a couple hours where everything closes. You know what you get? I know, the radio can't see me, okay? But you know what you get when you see people go out? We were doing, Charles Butler and I were doing some street preaching out here in front of Cato back in 2005. And after that, you see people, before that, hey, how you doing? They're friendly, smiling, whatever. But then 2 hours before everything closes, it's like, I mean, it's a blank stare. Somebody's looking at you, but they ain't seeing nothing. I've seen a lot of those kind of stares during this time. And I see some of that in your eyes. But let me tell you this. You feel trapped today. You're not sure what to do. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. We'll go through, now, God didn't promise us that we wouldn't go through trials and troubles. God didn't promise us that we would never go through something like we're going through right now. But let me tell you what God promised. We'll never be a prey to the teeth of the enemy. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. But for the child of God, the devil is but a toothless beast. He can't bite you. Now, he might try to gnaw you to death if you let him, but he can't bite you because we're kept in the hand of the Lord. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. How can I escape the fear, the uncertainty that plagues my soul? How can I escape the trial that I'm going through? It is the glory of God that undergirds us. It is a glory of God that breaks the snare, and it is a glory by the glory of God that we escape and we can give a testimony. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Amen. Man, I wish I could sing that and pray. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah right there. Now that's what holds a child of God together. The glory of God, the good word of God, the goodness of God that we receive through prayer, that we may obtain mercy. Mercy is not receiving what we deserve. Grace, receiving what we do not deserve. In our time of need. You know, I mentioned a Sunday school. I had a little rant this morning in Sunday school. If those and you go back and watch it. But I had a little rant. Verizon, AT&T, and Facebook. You know, Verizon, and if anybody works for Verizon, you need to fix this because I'm calling you tomorrow. On my phone, I used to get 4 bars right here outside the church and 4 bars anywhere in the office, and I could even get 3 bars in the auditorium. I got 1 bar today, and it's killing my power. I'm having to charge this thing about 40 times a day. And then, you know, I go around and sometimes the thing works, sometimes it doesn't. You know, the time that you really need your phone to work, you know these stupid things right here, when you need it to work, it'll let you down. Am I the only one that goes through that? Is somebody thinking, preacher, it might be operator error? Somebody's a thinking that, amen. Just don't think it too hard. Yep. I mean, you know, they tell you, oh, you use Facebook, it'll work great. And then you have interruptions, and then they take some people off. Let me tell you that. Anything this world offers will let you down. But the grace of God, the mercy of God. He'll give you help in time of need. He'll give it to you right now. He'll give it to everybody that comes. We got that stimulus check. You know, some people have got it, some people haven't. I'm not going to ask who got it and who didn't, because somebody might come up to you and want to borrow some money. Amen? But I'm going to tell you what, there's some people that really could use it and didn't get it. You know why? Because the federal government can't take care of everybody. Remember that one. The federal government can't take care of everybody. It can't. But I'm going to tell you someone who can. God can give grace. He don't have to have a stimulus package. He don't have to have a Congress or a president or a dictator or anybody. His supply is full, and if you'll come to Him and you bring your need to Him in time of help, He'll give you mercy and grace. Hallelujah. You come and get right with God, He'll forgive you. He'll give you the glory of God. My friends, these five cords are the helps. They're the frapping, the ropes, and the cables that hold us together in these times. These cords will hold your personal life together. These cords will hold your family together. There are some families in this time are really struggling. And then there are other families that have just drawn closer. Why? These cords of grace. And then I tell you what, is what holds our church together. You know, I gave you every reason to stay home today, but you're here. You know why? There's the cords that hold us together. And those cords, the cords of grace, the glory of God, the Word of God, the grace of God, the God of glory, will hold us together so that we can see it through the other side. You say, preacher, you think you're going to make it? Well, let me tell you. I come through a dominant and strong line of lunatics. Yeah, we're going to make it. By the grace of God. And you know what? You're going to make it by the grace of God too. There's going to come a time. Now, we don't see it now because when you smack dab in the middle of something, you think you're going to be there for the rest of your life. Somebody feel my pain, say, oh, me. Yeah, raise your hand, say, I feel your pain. I remember when I went to Romania, and I went to Africa 3 times. And I tell you, when I was in the middle of that Romania, I tell you what, that plane landed in Bucharest, the airport, and that 727 plane was going bump, 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 bump. I said, I have made a bad decision. This is an excellent example of a bad idea. And I'm going to tell you, there was a period of time that in the middle of traveling through there, I mean, you go through Bucharest, it's a lot cleaner now, but back then you see trash in the middle of the streets. And I mean, just, you know, people are just depressed. I mean, there's a spirit of depression that was in that country that had just been liberated out of communist dictatorship. And it just felt like that, man, I just, in the middle of it, I'm never going to go home. I forgot about what I enjoyed, and it seemed like I was going to never get back home. We're talking about 2 weeks, and we've been in this thing for 2 months. You say, preacher, you feel like you're going to get out of this thing one day? No. But I know I am. But you know what? Don't go by my feeling. It goes by faith. And I'm going to tell you the most beautiful sight that I saw on that trip in Romania was when I stepped back on that 727 plane and I saw on the door of that plane, that tiny, it was like a 2-inch by 4-inch American flag sticker. And when I stepped, because see, Boeing's made in America, amen, I stepped on that plane, though I was still in a foreign country, I knew that I was on the way home. Let me tell you something, my friends, we're going through a weary journey right now, aren't we? But I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a time that we're going to step out and we're going to see the banners of heaven fly. We're going to hear that shout. And even now, hey, you know what? When I get in that Bible right there, let me tell you, though it's in earth and it's printed on paper and printed by ink and is bound in leather, let me tell you this. I read this Bible, and though I'm still in this earth, yet I see and hear the banner of heaven. And it reminds me that though I'm still in this life, I'm carried by the heavenly grace of God, and one day I'm going home. And so are you. Amen. In the meantime, let's be held together by the cords that God has given us to keep us from coming apart, to keep